أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا شهادة بينكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت حين الوصية اثنان ذوى عدل منكم أو آخران من غيركم إن أنتم ضربتم في الأرض فأصابتكم مصيبة الموت تحبسونهما من بعد الصلاة فيقسمان بالله إن ارتبتم لا نشتري به ثمنا ولو كان ذا قربى ولا نكتم شهادة الله إنا إذا لمن الآثمين فإن عثر على أنهما استحقا إثما فآخران يقومان مقامهما من الذين استحق عليهم الأوليان فيقسمان بالله لشهادتنا أحق من شهادتهما وما اعتدينا إنا إذا لمن الظالمين صدق الله العظيم. We discuss ayat number 106 and 107 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. An incident had occurred in the time of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby a Sahabi by the name of Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu undertook a business journey to Syria with two Christians. One was, the name was Adi, and the other was Tamim. En route, Budail had become ill, he had become sick. And because of his illness and sickness, he feared that he will leave this world. And this is an example for all of us. So whatever his belongings were on the journey, not of personal effect necessarily, but it could have also been commodities for sale, his stock. He made an inventory of all the stock that he had, and he parcelled it up, and now he handed it to these two, Adi and to Tamim, and he instructed them that this parcel must be given to my family. In other words, he made them responsible. In our terms, he made them executors of this portion of his estate, that this must be returned. When his health deteriorated, he passed away, these two had taken the responsibility in his presence. So now they take this parcel and they bring it to Madinah Tayyibah and they hand it over to Sayyidina Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu's family members. These two, Adi and Tamim, had not known that there was an inventory in the stock. And when they handed it over, the family members, the inheritors, opened, they found the inventory, they began to cross-check, and they found that a utensil, in some narrations it is a jug, others a bowl, that was silver, but the inner lining was that of gold. In other words, something that was very expensive. And that was missing. They came back to the two and they inquired, is there anything else? Perhaps the marhum could have sold something from his property because he got ill. He probably required medication. They denied, no, nothing whatsoever. This is the parcel. This is what we had brought. So they brought this case to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The two verses refer to this entire incident, and our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called upon the two, Adi and Tamim, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them about the incident. Now here we should understand the Shari'i perspective of it, that we have two plaintiffs, the family of Budail, and we have two respondents, two defendants, that is the two that traveled, Adi and Tamim. Now the rule of the Shariat is a very simple rule, that when you make a claim and you are the plaintiff, the Islamic court will ask you for your evidence. Come with the evidence. If you fail to bring the evidence, then the respondent or the defendant will be called upon to take a qasam in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is how we know the incident to be. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed this procedure, and this is also now outlined in these verses. So the two of them, The family members could not bring any proof of anything, so they were left, and then the two, Adi and Tamim, took the qasam. And obviously Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time had brought them into the masjid. It was after the Asr Salat, and probably one reason the commentators give is even the Christians had a very high regard for the time after Asr, that they would not just lie after Asr, they regarded it as a very virtuous time. And hence Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam made them take the qasam. They took the qasam. After they took the qasam, a time passed, and this jug or bowl was found in Makkah Mukarrama by a merchant that was now selling it. So again, these two go, the family members go to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they say to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, here is the jug, we have located it, and this is the entire situation as it unfolded. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now looked at the situation a little differently, that now you are not making a claim, let us bring the two to find out. The two then said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we purchased this from before. This was a purchase that we made, and we sold it off to the trader from Makkah, and hence that is how the jug had gone there. Budail had received the money. Now here in this instance, they are making a claim of a purchase, and now the inheritors of Sayyidina Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu had become the defendants. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam now asked these two, the travelers, bring the proof of purchase. They could not produce any proof of purchase, and hence Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the family members then, the two of them, to take the qasam in the name of Allah, that as they know the incident, based on the inventory, that this is the property of Sayyidina Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Very interestingly, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made them take the qasam, and then Tamim, this was Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He eventually, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him the tawfiq, and he came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam before he accepted Islam. He said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the truth of the matter is that we had taken, embezzled from the property of Sayyidina Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We had sold the jug or the item for 1,000 coins, and here is my 500, because we shared it half and half. Now the responsibility will be on others to receive the other 500. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed these two verses. But the very important lessons we learn from here is, like Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that a person should not sleep for more than two nights without having a wasiyat. We're living in this country, South Africa, which we will call a will. If we do not have it, and a person leaves this world, then obviously it is going to be distributed by the state, and that is going to be interstate. The law of South Africa, its distribution is very different from that of the Shariat, and the result of it is that whatever we owned, whatever we worked hard for, it would be halal inshallah, and all that halal earnings may be distributed in a haram way. So from here we learn the very simple lesson, is that we should look, go to the ulama-i kiram, the muftis, and try and ascertain what is the procedure for us to have an Islamic will, what are the criteria of the executors of the will, etc., and try and get these matters also in hand, like Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has dedicated these two long ayats to this action of Sayyidina Budail radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.